2024, we up, baby. Damn, Mur, why would you say that out loud, son, on a publicly recorded podcast? That's crazy.
Like, I know. That's crazy, right?
What the heck is your problem, dude?
There's nothing wrong with loving Trump, you know?
Oh, there's all the way. Charles Barkley said he's stealing off on niggas.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, someone said today they missed 2020. I was like, nah, y'all just missed COVID, yo. COVID was a good fucking time. Let's be honest with you.
COVID was a time.
For some of us. For some of us.
Some of us. I mean, I was collecting COVID, so I'm not saying that as like I dodged it. I was collecting them, so.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, niggas. I had to work. Like, yeah, dude. I was in the mix.
Well, you didn't believe in COVID. Remember that?
I never got it still. I think it's one of those things like Peter Pan. If you believe in it, you can fly. If you believe it, you'll catch it.
So crazy.
So, nah, let me stop.
I'm over here in New Orleans. It's too late now.
Do not what clip that.
What a fucking reference. Peter Pan. Like, yeah. Nah, man. We had also the stimmy checks, too. We got three, stick or something, oh, son. You missed, man. The stimmy scams was out, too. No, 2020 was a year.
I wish I got on PP loans. Shout out to all my PP loaners out there.
Shout out to the circle charts out there. You know, I remember all of you that had one, too, by the way. I still look at you sideways. But that's
big scam. Easy
hashtag
scam.
Never forget, you know. Shout out to the Black Square, Instagrams, everything. It was a... going to times.
That was a time.
Yeah, it's 4 years ago is what's crazy. That's why that's crazy. That's like that's your whole high school career is behind you. That was COVID. So
shout out to them niggas. I worked with some young blood that was like graduating during that time. Niggas are like still depressed from that shit. On God,
I was about to say, not very smart either.
What do you mean?
They didn't get no schooling during that time.
Oh, nigga, I mean, everything's
my
on
there. My little brother, he's like, bro, everybody was asleep.
Yeah.
Like, I was the only person showing up for class and opening my laptop lid and starting. Yeah,
what a nerd. What a nerd. Chill out like everybody else, my guy. So, nah.
Hey. I saw people that graduated, that they graduate online, so you just get like a slideshow, can't even walk across the thing like that. Kind of sucks, dog. Imagine that. Just fucking take the joy out of finishing college or whatever, so...
Shout out to all the shorties getting their cheeks clapped, too. Because there was a couple videos of those Zoom meetings. Zoom meetings like that? No? Y'all remember that?
Yeah, man.
No, I didn't get that.
I can send it to you guys. Like I said, shorties like getting her shit crushed.
That's
in the
a very
work.
Specific niche.
No, I remember. I know exactly what Roy was talking about.
Niche. I was about to say, Roy's trying to play it cool. I don't know nothing. Yeah, I don't know. That's cool. That's fine.
That's there was that dude, Jeffrey Toobin, that got caught masturbating. I'm like, look at this guy. This American hero right here. He's like, he thought the camera was off. He didn't know. You know what time it was.
You pulled legendary lotion to pull off the jerk, too. Dunn says jerk off motion, then jerkins. That's a fact. Like,
dude, what do you even do? If someone stops you mid-beat, do you, like, close the camera and then get back to it? Or
The shame's going to have to come after. Look, I already feel shame afterwards. Right, let me just double pile on the shame at this point. Let me do what I came here to do. I'm locked in.
No bullshit. That's fucking sick. Oh, my bad. Sorry. Get sidetracked, but yada, dude. Shut the fuck up sometimes, man.
What's up, Nissan? You all right, nigga? What's up with you? I made some good jump shots a second ago. That wasn't meant to be funny.
I'm tired right now. It's all good.
Oh, shit.
Yes, y'all. Welcome back to the Geeked Up Podcast. If you're listening to the audio version, be sure to check out the video version on our YouTube channel. And let's get into the Nazis of the Week, where Meek Mill is apparently gay. Merle, take it away.
Damn, you're just going to put that one on me? It's crazy. Wow. Yeah.
You didn't get no intros? What am I
intro? Can we do a slight intro? Hey, Dooley.
Wait, he's into
Hey, Joshua. Hey, Roy. How you guys doing?
Going on, man. What's going on, man? Good to be here. How you doing?
A rough week. Shit's getting crazy. Act leaked out some shit that, statements that pretty much, listing, Diddy and, Meek allegedly had a little sneaky link, if you will. I'm not rogan. That's crazy. You can't do that to the kid of the city. You know, that's disrespectful, I think, especially in the heat of all this Diddy heat. You attach anything to Diddy at this point right now, I think Ari's going to, one, catch traction, and two, is going to be, not very argumentative. People are just going to be like, ah, yeah, let's just tack that on too. It's kind of fucked up, man. Seriously. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with that. What you guys got
Diddy
for
is, Diddy is radioactive right now. You don't want your name associated anywhere. So in the lawsuit or whatever, you saw a Philly rapper who dated Nicki Minaj who allegedly had relations with Diddy. So, you know, academics did the science and he landed that it was Cassidy. No, it was definitely Meek Mills. So, it was Meek, and Meek has been on Twitter defending himself right now and it's not helping. You know, we saw Andrew Schultz call it out. I think he called him like Cheeks Mill or some shit and talked about like, this say is why he wanted to be. All right, Cheeks Mill. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Philadelphia, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. It's kind of hard. I don't know why it's so hard to defend being straight. Like, you could have just came out and said, like, I'm straight, if that's the case, because I don't really believe he's gay either, but it could have been as simple, like, that's bullshit, like, I ain't never done nothing. But it ended up being, like, I got to prove my masculinity, or I got to prove how straight I am, and, like, how many bitches I fucked and shit. Like, this is a weird, like, man thing that he was touting that didn't land, and I feel like now everyone made even his recent album release, like all these songs sound fruity. I'm like, this poor guy, he can't catch a break. But yeah,
I mean, that track list is crazy though.
You didn't like his period sex tweet?
Oh, that he likes sex so much
that he's willing to run the red light.
That's sick. Yeah, but that doesn't make you more straight. This doesn't make you more straight. I guess like you like it that much that you had to do it. Like, I mean, come on. We've seen Meek Mill date Nicki Minaj. I don't think he's a yag or anything like that. Salute to him.
First off, my thing is, and this is the problem with the black community, is why does he have to be gay? You know what I'm saying? Why can't he be bi? Why can't he be bisexual? I think that's what he's really trying to say is, I'm not gay. You know?
You don't even believe yourself. So it's like,
I may partake in some activities, you know. I think that's what he's trying to say.
Easy way to phrase that. I partake in some activities.
I mean, hey, it's on occasion, right? He likes to party.
Son, it's just like the way they piece things together, like when he was like hanging out in the pool and they made it look like when they call out Diddy calling him daddy or something like that, or I like how you do it. Like those weird fruity things that everyone let get away with, they're like, why didn't like Meek Mill stop him? Again, I don't think Nemo's gay, and it's not a problem if he is, but I just feel like he kind of let the fruity shit happen and just kind of didn't stop him. You know your friend that always...
let the fruity shit happen. He was following black gay porn on Twitter.
Okay, that really was real. I swear that wasn't real. That couldn't be real. Dude, that was too specific.
It's a burner account. No.
Yeah.
It's just too obvious. It's like, I'm not
there's no problem with it. There's no problem with it. But like I said, it's just not, it's not the time. That's the problem. It's not his. He's not ready. You know what I'm saying? And why would it have to be like this? You know what I'm saying? Why would it have to be academics going through a 72-page document and finding a couple sentences that details possible celebrities that may have done some gay acts that may have described myself? Why does it have to be this one? You know what I'm saying? Like, what a way to be outed, you know?
Yeah. Like, wearing matching fits is crazy. They were wearing matching fits.
Matching like, fits is crazy. That was crazy. Like, his Amazon purchases is crazy.
Oh, yeah. What was Amazon purchase? Oh, that's right, don't even say it, because he started laughing. Don't even say it. Don't even repeat it.
We don't have to repeat it. Yeah. The picture with him with the gun in between his legs.
That was not him.
What about the shush meme? You know, he's like this in the car or something. Yeah. That one looks mad sassy and shit. Like, yeah, he does a lot of questionable things, but it's funny.
But hey, we could have just left it there. You know, left it on the line. You know, I think we should get to the real question. Let's go off. You know, because the second part right of the situation was the Usher part. Right, is why aren't we putting this attention on Usher? He was also detailed. It said,
I
had some rest today. I'm sorry.
That's pretty good. I don't know. I honestly think it's accepted. And I saw Mel even say it on JBP where, like, maybe there's a different standard for rappers and R&B singers. I kind of think it's true. Like, I kind of think it is true. Like, where I'm like, maybe there is some, like, bravado you need to showcase. And if you're, like, homosexual for some reason, then you can't be that tough. That's, like, a stain on your thing. But I'm like, son, like, what do y'all really call people that go to prison? Like, y'all think they don't just bust down something in there? And that's not woman in there. You know what I mean?
Technically, like, you don't have to. You can get a fifi. You can get a fifi.
That's some gangster shit right there. What are you talking about, son? Shout out to him. But no, I think Usher gets a badge as it is just an accepted thing with R&B singers. Yeah, he's just, I don't know. Like, I don't really think I have an actual reason other than it, the reason it's not accepted for Meek Mill. Like, Usher can get away with it because maybe we also thought that. And we saw some of them weird videos before when Diddy was talking about him wrestling and shit. Remember that video with Kevin Hart? And he's like, yo, me and him. He was like, yeah, this was before Paul's. We used to wrestle each other low-key or whatever. And you know what I mean? Just be on the ground and, like, trying to wrestle for cereal. And it's like, what is that? How do you wrestle for cereal? Like, how do you, what is that even, how does that even look? Yeah,
that's a less funny route, you know?
Because that's a whole different story now.
We'll come back to that because we have to get Merle for his initial take. I forgot about his initial take. We'll have to go back to that. One of the reasons why is because it's been, like, rumored that Usher, you know what I'm saying, he might like these activities as well. You know what I'm saying? Man got three kids, so once again, I'm not calling anybody flat out gay here. Like,
but is he? You could say he's.
Well, I don't know how many kids. I don't know how many kids he has because once again, because Merle got he got caught up for that last time. I don't know how many kids he has, but he has kids. But anyways, not to mention Keke Palmer's mom. You know, if y'all remember that when the whole situation was going on with Keke Palmer, when they were running up in the house and all the stuff, and they were saying like. The whole Usher and Keke Palmer situation happened, and then Keke Palmer and then her her baby daddy got into it. And the leaked audio, she said, "We are Usher gay anyways." Like, this comes up a lot. Like, it comes up a lot. And we just kind of ignore it, and I say, let's continue ignoring it, especially if
they're not ready.
If they're not ready, thank you, Abdul. If they're not ready to be outed, and also, you know, like I said, not funny, but he is apparently a victim in this whole thing. So
that's a fact.
So once again, and that's why you shouldn't just joke. Like, I know you want to know. I know you want to keep pitted. That's your boy Puff, you know, all that. But I would, you know, what I'm saying,
ease with caution.
Yeah.
I mean, Usher did go through somebody's legs in the Super Bowl. So I mean that. You know, I don't know what it is. You can do whatever you want with that.
I also think they're probably not shooting at him because that Super Bowl performance a lot of people loved. And I think Usher is just beloved in general too. Like, no one's hitting him. Like, I've nonstop this whole year I've heard nothing but his Vegas residency shows, and now everyone's like, yo, keep your girl away from Usher. So, like, I feel like the gay rumors are really gonna affect him. It's like he can brush that off because no one's really questioning that. But hey, nonetheless, like you said, it's probably not good to out anybody that's not ready, so should leave these guys alone. Academics, you were wrong. You were wrong for only reading this sentence. Academics, I'm sorry. Like, you shouldn't have focused on this shit. So.
And then beefing with the man and being like, why is he tweeting so much? Because he's freaking out. he's supposed to be a Philadelphia street nigga. Like...
How do you unlook your Amazon account from your Twitter? It's like, that was crazy. That's crazy.
All right, look. They shoot Meek some bail. I think cuz it's probably just got a target on his back just cuz he's not cuz he's independent. I hate to be that guy. I hate to be corny. I hate to be cheesy. This could be another way to fuck with this nigga's money in some type of way, shape, form. I hate to, you know, just saying. Honestly,
I've been with the conspiracies lately, but that's that one.
He generates a lot of money. Water.
That's not holding any water right now. Like,
yeah, I mean, it would be one thing if like the industry was trying to take him down, like if there's like a Tory Lanez type of artist or something where like you might be impacting something, but I don't see that with Meek Mill. I don't know. People are kind of split on Meek Mill.
I'm like, Meek's up there. Like, we're not sitting here to do that right now. He's got a good amount. I was about to say.
I think people just like to laugh at him, so they're not willing to. They're willing to like run with the jokes on him and shit. So that's why
he ended up the toughest. Day. He was like one of the toughest niggas, dog, until the Drake beef. And yeah. Ever since then, it's been jokes, and it's probably gonna keep being jokes. But
yeah. Hey man, shout out to Meek though. Still, yeah
shout out to Meek. Still a Philly legend.
We'll listen to your album later, or EP, or whatever.
Don't name it heathenism. Don't name it heathenism when you're going through shit like this. Anyways. Yeah,
it started from the bottom, sounded fruity. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I had no idea. Why? Like, whose idea was that? Can we change the name real quick? Can I get a new album art?
DeAndre?
Moving on to internet culture news. Apparently, Lush One returns to No Jumper. Duel. What you got to say about that?
Yeah, man. Roy, I think you were following a little bit of No Jumper. Merle, I've been trying to keep you guys in the loop of No Jumper news, but I know Merle's like a big Adam 22 head over Joe Budden for whatever reason. I think we saw a pretty tumultuous thing that happened last year. Essentially, Lush One got fired from No Jumper on air. And during his time off, he's been kind of shooting at the whole team. We watched him go after like Almighty, recently been going after Dijon Paul and stuff. But yeah, after he got fired, he's been on his own show firing at them. And then recently, Adam, I guess, invited him back for like an episode. So he came back on there. And during this episode, like Adam had called Almighty for whatever reason, because they asked him the status on their beef, quote unquote. And somehow, one way or the other, it led to Lush calling him a snitch, saying like, you got paperwork or something like that open. And then from there, Almighty said, come outside, like I'm pulling up. And they were supposed to fight that day. They didn't happen. And then lo and behold, that Sunday, Lush apparently went over to Almighty's place that his dad was at and everything, fought Almighty, got knocked down 4 times, went home, got on live, talked about taking the L, and then showed up to the podcast the next day, today, which the episode aired, where he potted with his bully. And I don't know who I respect less, to be honest with you. I don't know if I respect, because it was such an awkward thing, Roy. I don't know if you listened, but it sounded like Lush wanted respect for showing up, and it sounded like Almighty was like, no, you're not getting props, even though I know I shouldn't get props for beating up on you and you seem defenseless. I don't want to give you props for showing up.
I don't know
what you got from that shit, but
if you're going those two, like, who I respect more out of those two, that's really tough. Honestly, I don't fault either one of them, honestly. Like, if y'all have a beef and you have a certain code that y'all live by, no matter if we feel like it's stupid or whatever, that's your code. And like, the more I watched of that episode, the more I actually got respect for Lush. Like, I was like, yo, I gotta fuck with Lush after this. Like yeah, because Flacco was on there literally saying the same shit you're saying. Like, nigga, you're 40 years old.
Yeah.
Out over your white, and you're supposedly in hip hop, and you're not in the gang shit, but you're in a gang shit, and then you're in street shit, but you're not in street shit, but then and you're fighting people. Like, what are you? It doesn't make sense. But if you know Lush One, nothing about his life makes sense. So I don't really, I don't really fault the man. The man's been down and out for like 20 plus years. Like he came from like a wealthy background. Like, he wasn't supposed to go to his first place, but somehow he ended up here, and he's essentially a drug addict that Almighty Suspect beat up on, and then y'all brought to the show to essentially make fun of. It's content. So I don't fault Suspect for fighting him, because he is like, I mean, you disrespect me, I'm gonna fight you. And they know each other. Like, those are boys. Like, those are like, that's it's not my big bro, but that's my, you know what I'm saying? That's my homie. It's not my big bro, though. But like, there's respect there. So I get it. If y'all have a different way of like, you want to get through your beef, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not fighting Abdul. That is not happening. Like, I'm sorry. Me and him getting an argument, we are not fighting. I'm sorry. Y'all are not going to get that content. But if that's what y'all want to do, go ahead, bro. Like, it's going to look dumbish. Yeah,
sure. I feel for that content. First of all,
I'm not fighting anyone 16 years, my senior, junior, whatever it is. Like, that was kind of a point Flacco was making. He's like, bro, you like 46. What are you doing fighting this guy?
42.
Like, 42, my bad. It's just nuts. Because, like, even during that thing, he's asking him, like, yo, do you respect Lush for showing up? And he's like, oh, like, he couldn't even give him, like, you know, I fuck with him for pulling up, but it's just awkward to try to exist in that world and then to show up the next day and kind of like do like a pod about it. Like, he kind of wanted to show up there. He's like, yeah, fool. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, he rang my bell and shit. He rang my bell. He knocked me down. Like, I'm like, bro, you're admitting this guy knocked you down 4 times. And, like, during the fight, like, Almighty has this weird thing where he's like, I don't want to get props for beating you up, but you wouldn't even want to get beat up. Like, I didn't want to go too hard on you, but I kind of want people to, like, praise me for knocking you down this many times. And it's like, if you look at this guy, he looks defenseless. Like, this thing, you didn't get no points here. I don't know what's wrong with him. I think Lush wants to be on the pod desperately again. Like, for him to apparently show up. I heard that even when he showed up for the Adam show, like, Adam just texted him show up and then he didn't even have no, like, prior report. And he did. And it's kind of sad to see.
Like, he's a drug addict. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, shit. No. Oh, We're not doing that. Like, damn, nigga.
I'm Merle. We have, I'm sure you have, you know, saying, and your family, you know how this shit goes. Like, there's not gonna be, I'm gonna take every single opportunity you give me. What are you talking about? The man was sober before the no jumper shit, but then he's not sober anymore. So any decisions he's making now, I'm like, it's whatever, bro. It's out the window. And you 40 plus years old, so it can be hard. He's like, and they're like, yo, they're like, you weren't sober. He's like, man, I was just a little high. He's like, and they're like, okay. He's like, all right. And then he's like, oh, well, I was also a little drunk too. I was probably like a 6 drunk, you know. I was like a 2 or 3, like high off of weed. Like,
yeah, but then he came in. Remember, he said he came in and took a shot because he was trying to like wiggle his way out of the fight. I felt bad because I'm like, bro, like, you show up you drove an hour. Then you go and take a shot, and it's like, you know, you don't want to fight, you know, and he tried to talk his way out of it.
But he's right though, because like, they're going to see each other again. Like, I'm going to see you in LA, nigga. I'm going to see you at one of these battle rap fucking shows or at one of these hip hop shows. I'm going to see you again. You're going to see me, or you're going to see my dad, or you're going to see my people. It's going to be one of them. Like, that's why I get like, all right, I fucked up. I got to go handle mine. That's it. Like, he fucked up. He went on the show, snitched or whatever. So this is the way he could close it up. So go get your ass whooped.
Yeah.
On the internet. But you already been getting embarrassed on the internet for the last couple of years. So what's changing? Ain't nothing different.
I hope something changes. I hope he's not. Like, the comments, I mean, surprisingly, the comments were, like, mainly on his side, too, saying, like, you know, as corny as Lush is, like, I still fuck with him. And, like, I got a lot of respect for his, like, in-depth hip-hop knowledge. I don't know, man. It was just too much for me to take on, like, where I'm like, you're letting Almighty be 2-0. He beat up Kelpie the Pimp. Now he beat up Lush.
He's always the biggest, like,
I know. I know. But his ego is probably huge. Like,
he's literally shaking his head. Like, it's not even really that. Like, it wasn't really like that. Like, I beat up on a crackhead. Like, what are we talking about? No.
Oh, shit.
I don't get it. I don't know. And now I feel like I almost could wonder an iteration of that show. Because that show, I'm not going to lie, I'm not a fan of it. I kind of don't mind Flocko on his own. But that podcast in general, Dijon Paul and all them together.
Bro.
I could see him joining because I
got past. Remember, I told you the Flacco trying to instigate Lush and Almighty Suspect for like 20 minutes after, like, they initially, as soon as they come in, they're like, yeah, bro, we good. Like, and then it was just like 20-30 minutes of Flacco trying to instigate, but then after that, Lush and Dijon Paul started talking. I haven't watched any No Jumper content for real besides like the Danny interview and shit. And that was a good discussion.
That was amazing.
Lush talking about like the West Coast rapper like situation and why they're so trash and like what they need to improve on and like the report card, and even they started talking about Schoolboy Q. Dijon Paul talking about like, don't wait 5 years to drop an album because then people won't care. And it's like, yo, like, you're right. Like, it was a good conversation. Honestly, I'd like to see more. You know, still fuck Adam 22 over here though.
It's like, fuck Adam. I'm indifferent. Nah. I mean, I'm a little indifferent on that show because like Dijon Paul, I don't know like if that report card is something that's like really landed him in front of everybody, like, or how much people really care. I might be the only one thinking that, but I did get towards that point too when Lush and him were talking about music, and it seemed a lot more in depth because Lush cares enough about music to like speak on it a lot better. But don't know. I want to say fuck Adam. He had a good interview with Danny Sun. He still got it in him. All right. I still hope for the boy for the 22. But yeah, outside of that, I'm just going to say my boy Point and Shoot is going to have a field day with this fucking interview, son.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for that video. Shout out to Point and Shoot. That video is going to be hilarious. It's going to be like 40 minutes.
Pause. Too much to pick apart. Go ahead.
How long was that interview with the Danny joint? How long was that?
Hour and a half, 2 hours.
Hour and a half, dog. Like an in-depth, like good questions, good conversation. Like I said, I'm hating Danny. I'm hating hard.
I was say, is this Danny's year? Because he's on a roll right now.
I mean, it's him and Chig's year. So Chig's is a bit.
Look at him. He can't even give Danny his alone.
I was gonna say that's crazy.
I just saw a Chig's video. Chig's just dropped a Mandy and Joe Budden video. That shit had like 20K in like less than 24 hours. I was like, all right.
I don't know that Chig's got ice from Joe Budden, and then look what Danny guy got. Rory. I don't know if
Danny had to pay for his interviews either. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Good reversal. Good reversal. I guess you're up on the next one, DeAndre. I don't know.
So Joe Budden hasn't been on a few episodes of his podcast, and fans are split beside him being there and not being there. I don't know who wants to take that.
I guess I can tackle it because you guys have been rocking out for the last few joints. Episode 703. Joe was on hiatus. Previous episode, he did mention that he was going to go down south to go see his family. Ideally enough, you know, he thought it was just going to be like a little quick mission, I guess. But apparently it must have lasted a bit long. The trip must have been extended because he wasn't there.
Was Candace Owens his family? Just want to curious. Was that part of the family?
Where is that at, by the way, real quick? Where is that at? Because I've been looking for it. It's not his hard drive.
Yeah, that shit ain't coming out, son.
No. We Patroni, so it should be hitting the feed soon. But man. Episode 703, man. There's a Joe list. It's the it's the starting five lineup that he's been grooming and trying to get set and go. And it's a pretty good pile. Am I alone on this? They held it down.
You finished the full pod, right? The one without Joe. 703. I liked it.
The only thing I didn't like out of that, cue it a buck, pause, it was short. Usually typically with the Bionic 6, they usually average roughly about 3 hours and 10 minutes or around, give or take around that time. This one was short. It was about 2 hours. I want to say 2:30.
I think around exactly 2 hours, like 2 hours 10 maybe. It felt good to see them all be mad comfortable. It looked like when your manager is gone and y'all have your stand-up call with each other, and then now it's like you gotta really shoot the shits or something like that, or like a post-work happy hour. Like, it felt good to see Flip kind of open up about like what he was hating on his son for getting women and shit. He's like, my son ain't really my friend no more. Like, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's kind of a cool thought. I never thought about that, like having a son that's growing up, and then now you got to let him do his own shit. He don't really look up to you no more. Obviously, I thought Melissa Ford did great. I thought her whole breakdown of like the Wendy Williams doc and shit was excellent. Even though I was on the other side with the opinion, like I was one of the people where I'm like, I don't have much sympathy for Wendy Williams, but I really appreciated like her breakdown and her like how she kind of explained Lifetime and how they handled her and her previous relationship with Wendy Williams, because I was curious why she was so adamant about defending her. But for her to kind of have like a free flowing opinion on stuff without being interrupted by Joe was really good to hear. I will say the one thing I missed was when Ish, they finally talked about the fucking hoodies that Ish was releasing and the real estate stuff. And I was like, damn, I really wish Joe was here to troll him about this shit. Like, I really was missing that. I was like, he would be the one. Because all of them was going to be like gassing him up. But Joe would have been like, oh, word, like, when you go do the seminars and shit. But I don't know if you listen to it, Roy, either.
I listen. I mean, you got all the points, like. Everyone did a good job. Like, everyone had the runway to get their points off, especially, like you said, especially Melissa Ford. It seems like she needs that runway, like, to get her full thought out, which is cool. Cause, like, Joe's gonna interrupt, you know what I'm saying? He's gonna get the little jokes, you know what I'm saying? He might, like, interrupt because he doesn't think you're going anywhere with this, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't see the exact point, or he just thinks it's bad podcasting, you know, like, when they get stuck on a topic. So, this might be just the perfect time for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe in the past they couldn't, because they've done it before, but I don't think it was like, they didn't receive rave reviews like to this degree. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was pretty good, but like, this like last couple of weeks, everybody's like, oh no, it's what, Joe? Who needs Joe? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, which is crazy. That was crazy.
It's crazy for y'all to say that when they like start the pod off using like Joe lingo. Like they're using Joe lingo all throughout the pod, bro. Like that's all his shit. So, but I don't know. It's definitely leads credence to the fact that everyone thinks that, or a lot of people been thinking he's a good talent evaluator and it's good at bringing in talent. This is like a good way to showcase the talent and then show what they could do possibly on their own. You know what I'm saying? Like we've been talking about this Melissa Ford show. Where is it? You know what I'm saying? Like, or like I said, this, you know, more platform for Ish. Like Ish, go do something. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So
I think did you feel like just real quick, my bad. Go ahead, Merle. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just real quick. I was going to say definitely pat on the back to Joe for that. But also anybody off this whole episode that definitely deserve praise. I mean, shout out to Flip, man. Definitely, you know, going from, you know, the wild, you know, charismatic, or not even want to say charismatic, but just the wild card out the group. There was, you know, something seldom and just, you know, pretty fly just to see Bruh just like, you know, hold it down and be the A mic. You know, like I said, it shows that, of course, he has his own platform and everything.
Do you feel like he was the A mic? That's what I was going to ask. Because I didn't really feel like he was the A mic. I felt like everyone kind of shared it. If anything, maybe Melissa, or like, I thought maybe, but I don't know. And like,
even like the pod, like, structure was more like a long form discussion type. Like if it was really just a straight up Flip A mic pod, I feel like it would be way more chaotic. But like he really set in to be a host. Like he was host mode. You know what I'm saying? Like let me point guard. Let me just, you know what I'm saying, pass it around, like make sure people get this shit off. Like I don't see it was straight up like A mic. And I know he's not always like flamboyant, but like he sure be making it feel that way. But it's nice to see that he can switch, you know, switch roles, like from
switch
like,
gears,
like
exactly.
Charismatic, over the top, C mic, B mic, to like chill host, you know, B mic, A mic, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess A mic, I think of the person that's dominating it. But if you're hosting, maybe that has like a different set of rules or something like that. Whereas like you feel the tone of Joe. Joe always has like great takes. He is funny, but can also be really abrasive and stuff like that. And like, usually he'll have the monologue, you know, and you can't interrupt, you can't say nothing. And God forbid you even say something, which we saw on the following episode where Joe returns and he addresses everybody like having too much fun without him. And he's like, I want everybody else just as loose and shit. And even Parks said it. He was like, I heard what Flip said about, you know, everyone having more fun without Joe. And Parks was like, I don't even remember him saying that. I was having too good of a time. And I'm like, fucking with it. I thought it was crazy for Parks to say that. But I guess the one thing I did notice even coming back, like some of these weird moments where like, you know, Joe will straight up say, like, if you somewhat interject with something, it'll be like, yo, shut up, shut the fuck up. Can I get my point across? Can I do something? And it's like, damn, like that just comes off really bizarre. Even when Ish does it, not just Joe, like when Ish will say like, let me finish. Like sometimes hearing that is like a really rough listen. And I can get it's like a heated debate sometimes, whatever. But sometimes when you're just like opening, like you're explaining like what happened in the movie or you thought a movie was trash or some shit like that, like whatever it might be, a lighthearted convo, for you to feel so passionately about being cut off. And it's not even like they're cutting you off. It's just like, no, you're interrupting like this is my show. Like, don't have too much mic time. It comes off a little weird. Nonetheless, Joe's still the man, but I did notice that coming back to this episode that he was like, nah, y'all had too much fun. Fuck that. Like, oh, come on, son, you the boss. The Joe Budden podcast.
Hearing it too much on Spaces, too. Way too much criticism. Goddamn, nigga, shut up. I'm still my podcast.
I like Joe. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, how friendly can you really be with your boss? I think that's why Rory and Maul had such a good rapport with him, because it didn't, maybe this didn't really feel like they were his boss when they kept saying, like, you know, they were profit partners, whatever. That's a separate convo, but at least one thing I noticed is that on the R&M days, they cracked way more jokes on Joe than currently. It almost feels like a constant pat on the back for Joe. Like, I remember, like, specific episodes of the Rory and Maul days when they were, like, making fun of Joe's resume. I think, like, Parks read the back of, like, Rage the Machine. Nobody knows. This part knows. Or some shit. Like, they had, like, jokes ready to go, locked and loaded. They talked about his, like, appearances, title, like, about album names. Yeah. They're like, Focus. Yeah, you know. You dare? You never heard of Joe Set in the club? Oh my God, you couldn't get through Starlet or something. Like, they'd be cracking on him so much that I don't really see that in the new iteration of the show. But I was still happy to see him because, lo and behold, man, he got to the shits. The episode opened with him just getting on fucking Ish. Like, hey, how much time you got from them real estate seminars? So, no, I mean, last thing I was just going to say was, like, I don't think the podcast obviously will exist without Joe Budden, but I don't think it would hurt to have like a lot more Joe-less pods, maybe like two a month, once a month. Like, there's so much Patreon content. There's so many, like, just two free episodes a week. I think at least two episodes without Joe a month wouldn't be bad. Like, you could have like a fucking Mel and Imani, if it's not Mel and Ish, one day. You could have something where they do something. I don't know.
Well, so, yeah. Did you guys actually check the group Patreon joint? They actually dropped a questions segment or confessions type of thing where they had a one-on-one interviews. Yeah, it's a new one. It's a Queen's Flip. It's a solid good 20 minutes, I believe, give or take, maybe less than that. But it's just Ian just running through some questions, some, you know, the heavy hitters that, you know, what do you bring to the pod? If you were to leave, would you be on? Like, would you be loyal? This and the third.
Oh, I saw the flip one. I saw the flip one when Flip. I just saw that on Instagram, but I didn't see like the full. I don't know if there's like a full thing. Like, they're all on it.
No. It's on Patreon. But it, I mean, just the way how they have the hyphen Flip, you definitely know a Parks, Ish, Ice, you know, maybe a Corey, a fucking Imani might come down the line. Definitely a good segment. And honestly, to be told, I've been actually dying for these guys to kind of expound more on the Patreon side for niggas that are paying, because I'm like, you know, don't get it wrong, these episodes are fly, but, you know, I do subscribe to these other, you know, channels through Patreon, and I'm saying, you know, behind the scenes shit, niggas just, you know, just the goofy shit niggas record going in the car, rapping in the car, doing dumb shit, you know, their daily task, you know, the mundane lifestyle. So it'd be nice to see, you know, some of that behind scene thing. So
yeah, now you're invested. You're a Patreon. You're a patron, whatever.
So we are a Patreon.
We are Patreon. You want to get some exclusive? Yeah. Maybe we should get some discounts for them Ish merch, son. Something like that. Get some discounts. Yeah. I don't know why Joe Budden still ain't really
I've seen y'all niggas' shoes, and I've been seeing y'all like trash shit in the group chat. Like, yo, these hoodies expensive. I've seen the shoes y'all niggas got on y'all feet. Shut the fuck up. And support black.
$150 is still crazy. I don't care.
Did you get a consultation? If you ordered it fast enough, you could have got a consultation. So,
yeah, business consultation for Geeked Up, you know?
All right, man. What do we say? Because, you know what's pissing me off is that he is like the B mic on the show. So if Joe releases merch now, this is like runway for him to do. Like, I saw him wear like a Joe Budden Network shirt. I thought that shit was fire once. And I'm like, damn, I would buy that shit. But if Ish is releasing merch for $150, what the fuck is Joe about to charge us now? So I ain't about to.
Joe's probably gonna be tight because he
might not go that crazy. Because I mean, how did we even got a decent deal at the Rory and Mall show? Like, don't do that. They were actually pretty. I still have that.
Still got my shit. Still got that shit too. Yeah, and, you wasn't outside on the back. Son, come on, son. Run about, man. But yeah, outside of that, I think. Go ahead.
Well, no, just a quick flip this before we get to another. I mean, speaking of Rory or Mall out in D.C., they're actually coming out to D.C., what, on the 23rd, I believe, of March? You guys got any anticipation? You think the show's going to be a hit? You think it might be dead?
Anticipation for a Rory and Mall show?
I would go. I feel like it'd be good. Roy's
taking it. He's lying like shit.
No, I would go.
Let me see if there's a
Rory Mall show in Austin, because I'm sure they'll have one eventually.
I would go. If they're here in Austin, I would definitely go. I'd drag DeAndre with me, and we would go. It's like we're going to go see Shane Gillis and Andrew Schultz. Salute. So,
you're going to keep throwing them names.
We could add another white man to our repertoire real quick. So, yeah. No, I would definitely go see them. I think I've seen like videos out there where they're like, I don't want to say like a PowerPoint shit, but I'm sure it's a good show.
That's hilarious.
And they get alienated with the audience. Hey, man, I'm not going to take no shots at the JVP, but they touring still. So come on, R&M is touring.
We don't know what that even means yet, but maybe one day we'll figure out what the fuck that means. What does podcast touring mean?
We'll see them do it. But yeah.
Big money.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I imagine. Good, yeah.
The internet has been buzzing about City Sweetie's titties all over again her Madam Web appearance. Apparently, that's all she's good for. Roy, what do you think about this?
All right, first off,
Roy,
that's not how I would describe Sydney Sweeney.
There you go.
Sydney Sweeney definitely has taken the internet by storm as of late. She's on all of our feeds on Twitter. Seems that ever since her before the SNL appearance, I feel like the SNL appearance just took it over the top. It started with her last movie coming out. I forgot the name. Anyone But You, the movie before her last movie came out. Anyone But You came out. That one was a surprising, like, super success. Like, they had like a $30 million budget, something like that, and it turned it around to like a $200, $250 million profit. Which obviously shows how successful she is, and then she parlays that into Madam Web, which does terribly, but, you know, it's decent PR for her. Her name is still in the headlines. Everybody's talking about her because she's, you know, seeing her in a suit, even though we did only got like one scene apparently of her in a suit. And then, like I said, that's an L appearance. So all of this to say, like, why is Sydney Sweeney taking over the internet? Now, there are two obvious reasons why.
What are those?
I'm sure you would.
Her heavy performances, you know, super fucking heavy performances she is out there, you know. I think she's just, she always walks in every place she's in with her chest out, and she's just so confident and brave. I think she might be like the Shane Gillis for women. Like, she's this little underdog. Nah, or she's just the next up and coming woman right now, you know what I mean? Like, we've seen her in Euphoria. She's got an unforgettable performance, but now Anyone But You, you're a rom-com star, but you're also in like a really serious dramatic role. Like, she plays both well. I honestly think she is a fantastic actress. And Sydney's, she was probably the only one that showed up for this Madam Web thing. Like, we saw her at the screening, and I think she was probably the only one selling this movie when we think about it. Everyone was excited to see her. And I think this SNL thing, like, kind of cemented her, because this shit is all over my timeline. Like, even her opening monologue where, y'all might have seen me in Euphoria, y'all might have seen me in Anyone But You, you probably didn't see me in Madam Web. Like, she leaned into it, or her writers leaned into it, whatever you want to call it. It was funny that she kind of like thought about it, and then even had these skits of like, she's very obvious with it. You know, she's a Hooters girl making $40,000. I just want to say, I think Sydney Sweeney might be the greatest white woman ever, honestly. Not a lot of them out there, you know,
Meryl Streep. Come on now.
Margot Robbie, you know,
You already just
Megan Fox,
the scale right there.
Taylor Swift, another white woman legend right there. Come on. What are we doing, man? What are we saying right now? Come on, dude.
What are you doing? How about this? She is like the newest and hottest starlet in American media. How about that?
She feels like the next Margot Robbie. She kind of does feel like the next Megan Fox. I remember when Megan Fox was like,
for Transformers. It's Margot. But even Margot didn't have a role. She didn't kill it as much as Sydney Sweeney has already. You know what I'm saying? Her performances in Euphoria, like, that's outstanding. Like, compared to like Megan Fox, you talking about Transformers? What are we talking about? We talking about Margot Robbie when she was in Wolf of Wall Street, and
she was Harley Quinn. She was in Focus. She was in
these are all like side roles where she's almost like the eye candy. You know what I mean?
She was
like,
the main girl in what was that? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like, yeah, she just had random movies. Like, yeah, she is kind of like an up and coming star. I don't know. I don't think Margot Robbie's not up and coming. Sydney Sweeney is, but Margot Robbie kind of feels like that A list like. You're cemented now, kind of. Like, you're probably one of the most popular actresses out there. I don't know what Sydney Sweeney is. I don't think, like, she's not, like, unique looking. Like, you know, like, we've seen a lot of blonde girls and shit like that. It's just kind of surprising to see how much she's taken over. Like, you can't avoid this woman. And I, for one, love her. I think she might be the greatest white woman in America.
So I love her. It's crazy. Yo, don't look at me. Yo, leave me out of it. What's up with him?
I didn't have much else to say. I think people are being kind of crazy. Like, they're trying to look into it too much. Like, how is she so popular? But at the same time, it's like, men are going to love beautiful women, of course. You know, she is.
And we all love talent.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I don't know if this is true, but I saw someone on Twitter say like her parents.
Yo, I swear to God. Oh my God.
I saw someone on Twitter trying to say her parents were like MAGA parents or some shit like that, like Trump supporters too. And I'm like,
y'all.
This way until November, we're gonna really see how much we like her, you know.
Man, shout out to Sydney Sweeney. I don't know, I hope she still does get some continued success. It sucks that Madam Web might be a stain on her career, but it looks like she kind of flipped that.
Her old boy, I can't even remember his name, the dude from her co-star and Anybody You, they're already looking at doing other movies together.
I've seen clips of that shit. That should look good.
Good rom-com. Shout out to the rom-coms.
So yeah,
I mean, every good actor and actress has one on their belt, some trash shit. So I mean, everybody's due for one,
I guess. Go ahead,
DeAndre. Moving on to movies and TV, the recent shows come out on FX called Shogun, which is based on a book. It's been critically acclaimed. Apparently, it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and people are calling it a Game of Thrones killer. Who has seen the episodes?
I watched this. I watched the first two episodes. Roy, y'all watched it all?
I watched the first one just now. Actually, I'm 20 minutes away from finishing the first one.
Come on, son. What y'all doing, man? Nah, dude. Shogun is it's amazing so far. Yeah. Are you watching it, Merle?
No, I'm loving it.
Damn, what is the game watching? Nothing with like any sort of serious dialogue. What?
Why? See, nah, we're not doing that. If it was anime, I've been there. So now I'm like, it's on my list. Stop it.
No, I like the show. So far, really what it is, it's like also kind of based on like a real person. The game called like Neo is also based on the same guy. His name's like William Adams or something like that, where he was traveling and kind of opens up like certain routes from Portugal and Japan. But you kind of just see like a really good like clash of cultures in this. They blend like really violent elements but have like a really intricate dialogue at the same time. That's why I think a lot of people are comparing it to Game of Thrones season one, where they're not obvious with what they're stating is going to happen, but then you'll see something happen in the next scene that they refer to, and then it kind of ties into that. And obviously, like Roy, you've seen it probably in the first episode where someone's getting fucking boiled alive type of shit, and you're like, all right, yo, this is pretty graphic. Like, this is a pretty intense show. I don't know. And at every given moment, this white guy, what's his name? John Blackthorne. He's about to die at any given second and like barely grazing away from death. That first episode is pretty intense. The second episode gets even deeper into like dialogue. And I think the beauty of it, weirdly enough, is that most of it isn't in English. So you're watching not only this guy speak, but you're watching him get translated, and then you're reading subtitles, and then you're so, I don't know, because you're so locked in, you're like, this shit could go left. Because you've seen people just get beheaded left and right.
Anime.
You know, I'm really enjoying it so far. So yeah. My bad. Go ahead.
So anime, pretty much.
Yeah.
Anime.
No. Actually, to Abdul's point, yeah, because it is in Japanese, right? There's parts where it's in Japanese, but there's parts where it's in English because you got the white guy, obviously, and he can be translated for. You know, he's saying he's from England and he's basically lost. I'm sure he's not lost because he was trying to get to Japan. That was the whole goal. But essentially, in those conversations, you see in those translations, there's just like this constant war of dialogue and communication, right? Like he's having a Portuguese person translate for him, but the Portuguese and the English don't like each other. So it's like, I'm not going to translate exactly how you want me to translate this, because obviously I don't want anything good to happen to you. But in that same moment, the Japanese are still taking that moment to realize, like, all right, I don't know what the fuck's going on or what they're talking about, but clearly this guy doesn't like this guy. I'm gonna find out why he doesn't like this guy, right? And it just keeps delving from there. And to your like the Game of Thrones point, like one of the things that's like really interesting is just like the different it's the different sections of the clans, and then the different general, you got a different levels of these clans, right? And like even in that first episode, you're already seeing people trying to double cross their own board, which is insane. I'm like, what are you doing, dog? Like, you really gonna try and say I'm gonna just keep them from me? We gonna keep that shit for us? They're like, nigga, you want this right now? You want this act? You want the smoke? Like, he's like, hold on, nah. It's for surprise. Shut the fuck up. So like, it's that kind of shit where you're like, all right, everyone's gonna have their own little inner motive. It's not gonna be everybody's gonna be on the same side. It's going to be everyone's trying to work towards whatever their goal is. So I'm definitely interested in seeing how that's going to play out. Because like I said, if it's getting compared to Game of Thrones, then obviously we know this is going to get very intricate, very tricky.
Are there any dragons?
No. This thing, it starts off with in 1600.
Yeah, it's like legit shogun, like military type of shit or whatever, and betrayal and honor. Oh, man.
Like, yeah. And then, like,
no magic,
but like to the violence part, like the first time you see somebody die, I think, right? The first death you see, someone gets their head cut off. Bro, yeah. That should make me jump, bro. It was.
Yeah, because it was so random and abrupt, too. Abrupt, yeah, similar bro. To Game of Thrones.
And it wasn't like a TV miniseries. Like, I don't know if it's going to have a longevity like Game of Thrones did, but I think it might captivate everyone. Like, it's an episode it might have because it's really that interesting. Even for being on FX, because usually shows on FX kind of suck, but this is proven otherwise.
No.
This is an FX original show. Like, I don't know an FX original show besides like Wilfred or
Always Sunny.
Yeah,
I mean Dave Atlanta. What's it called? Dave Atlanta. What's it called? What was that? Rami. All three of those were all FX original series. They were pretty good. Yeah. But no, like DeAndre was it like the original show was a miniseries. I like looked that up. It was 5 episodes though. So I'm like, I'm guaranteeing this shit is not going to be no 5 episodes. I almost feel like it's going to be 10. I hope we see a season 2. Like, it seems like there's a big war and there's a bigger plot to unveil as far as like what is the trade routes that are going to be unlocked or like how are these cultures going to actually clash or anything like that. Like, this love story can't be figured out and solved in one season because obviously the white guy or John Blackthorne and that lady, I forget her name, are going to have something going on. We saw the pacing of the show is
actually really good. Like, everything is moved along very fast, but everything is also explained very well. Like, we learned all about the world from just him, like, you know, show us a map of how you see the world. They learn everything about the world out there, and they learn like, oh shit, the Portuguese are like, oh shit, they're building these like secretized bases on the islands that we have no idea about. So the pacing of the show, fucking amazing. Season 3 picks up the pacing even faster. Episode 3.
Yeah, I need to catch up. That just came out last night. It's a weird day for it to come out on a Monday, but I don't know who the hell's tuning in late night on a Monday for TV. And the other first death I think you saw was the baby, just to speak to the brutality of the show.
What?
Like, what the hell? And yeah, someone's killing a baby, like offering their baby up. It just shows you how, like, they don't fuck around.
No, I was telling my girl, I was like, yeah, this thing about like old school Japan, like feudal Japan is... Those were some savages, bro. They did some crazy ass. Like, this is just Asian people in general did some insane shit to people. Like, I'm dead ass. Like, it's just in that era. Like, I mean, he's boiled alive. Mm-hmm. They said he boiled them alive just because.
Yeah, because he wants to feel how close he is to death. And, like, you see, I feel like, and just to speak, I don't know that character's name, but the character that wanted to hear, like, how it feels to be close to death. And then you saw him about to get drowned and about to stab himself. And I'm, like, thinking, like, this character might be probably the most important character in the show. I was like, this is a weird feeling that like they did this thing where you hate him and then you kind of like him later on. And I'm like, look at these Jamie Lannisters out here.
So the acting is phenomenal. Like,
Jamie Lannister.
All parties. Everyone is doing a good job. I can't say anyone is lackluster in anything. Yeah. And it's beautiful. The fucking cinematography is beautiful, by the way. Like, make Japan. They make these sets look super real.
I loved it. I don't know that actress name either. She's smoking it. Are they technically speaking? Is he not speaking Portuguese? I thought John Blackthorne, or he said he was from England. I thought it was like one of the things we're assuming they're speaking English, or they're assuming they're speaking Portuguese or something. Did I get that wrong?
You might be right on that.
I have no fucking idea. When he said Portuguese, I was like, why the fuck are they speaking English? I have no idea.
Yeah. Little boy literally asked in the beginning, like, hey, you speak to the translator, you speak a little Portuguese. He's like, yeah. And then
they're still speaking English. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking. It's like Prey, where, like, you know, they're speaking in the Native American tongue, but we're receiving it as English and shit. So.
And then he can his technical Portuguese really well. Cause in the beginning, he's like, I don't speak Portuguese that well, but hopefully I at least speak Portuguese. And then he's over here cursing and all this other shit. What would be supposed to Portuguese? So it's, I don't know. That's a little misnomer. It's not a big deal.
I wish they could have done was the same thing that Warrior did, where like they're speaking in their normal tongue, then it just kind of like flips the camera, the audio changes to English, but to them, they're still speaking their common tongue.
Mandarin or whatever.
I do like just hearing Japanese from this Japanese like show, so I guess that was the worst.
Yeah, let me some Japanese.
I like it. Shout out to the main guy, the other Asian dude, his name is Yoko, whatever his name is. I don't know how you say his last name. Isama something. He's fire. No. Scorpion. Oh, name and everything. I don't really say his name.
Like, you try.
That's nah, that's excellent show. I love that shit though. Yeah, shout out to Shogun. But yeah.
Moving
did
on.
Y'all want to briefly touch over? Oh, never mind.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You should mention Game of Thrones killer. I was about to say season two of House of Dragons. I haven't heard any, you know, high praise or any yays from you guys. How are you guys feeling about that?
I'm excited. Season two.
We're just going to be chilling, dog. I think we're all just going to just chill. And then once it starts up, we're just going to be stupidly sized and stupidly locked in. And then getting stuck into these fucking Game of Thrones theories, getting stuck into like the lore of Game of Thrones and what could be happening. What other show could they make? Oh, Aegon. What about Aegon? Like, we're going to do all of this. We're all just saving our energy.
There's no theories for this show because, like, I mean, the books are done, correct, Abdul?
This book is literally Rhaenyra's story starts like halfway through Fire and Blood, like chapter 10, I think, like a little more than, not all the way halfway, but like chapter 10 of Fire and Blood is when Rhaenyra's story takes off, which is crazy. So yeah, it's already written, and it's even crazier to think that this author thought of Game of Thrones, started the show, and then had a whole backstory lore of each character built out from like this deeply is just nuts to me. Like, this is way before AI. This guy's just that fucking creative. Like, he just thought of every side character. A character as complex like as Daemon and shit, and then, you know, to give all the other Targaryens a fight within each other. And I don't know. I mean, we already know how it's gonna end, so I already have my, you know, I'm not really feel like I'm gonna be sad by the time the show ends, but I think max of three seasons will be done.
It's gonna be sad when it happens. I think they announced it. I already know what happens, but like, it's still like seeing it and witnessing it. It's like,
it's
gonna do another
whole. Yeah, we already know Team Hightowers, Team Greens. You know what time we on still? You know who we on? You know,
but even now, then we get to see that. There's gonna be animated shows. There's gonna be so much like Game of Thrones like content lore. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, they already announced another spinoff. I don't know if it was the Aegon one or something else, but they already announced another. Oh, they did? Okay, so that's just going to be nuts. That's a bigger dragon than, what's his name? A Balon dragon over is bigger than, way bigger than,
Valyrian the dragon.
Viserys or something. Something like that, yeah. Yeah, it's just going to be nuts.
You proud nerd.
Oh.
You don't have no thoughts, Merle?
I'm still behind. I'm not going to lie. Like I said, I know you guys were talking high praise.
No serious dialogue.
Like, yeah,
you hear me?
I'm like way behind on the whole thing. Like I said, I know you guys are
tired,
you know, crazy,
you get sleepy.
Nah, don't do that, nigga. Stop it. I don't want to play, man. I'm sorry. I'm trying.
Watch it, man. That's crazy.
Bro, you had thoughts on the Schoolboy Q album?
God, man. Pretty good album. Missed the nigga. It's way too long. I want to say that Blank, last time we heard from him, Blank Face was like 2020, I believe, or 19 actually, I think. So it's roughly about a good almost about 5 years from the time. Look, man, it's a good album, but look, I with some niggas with this whole switching up songs midway, I am not a fan of. I certain songs, I'm like, bro, leave it as it is. You are already killing it, the beat, the vibe, right, and everything like that. I'm good. You know, thank God for me. That one I could have done without the switch up. Lovebirds, I've been playing nonstop just because that sample on that joint is crazy. I even went to go find the original sample of that shit. Smoked that joint. Like I said, that's probably my one gripe with this, but you know, the features are solid. Not too many features, actually. Definitely within camp. Probably the only thing I'm actually a little bit disappointed that I did not see. Didn't really get the black hippie type of vibe, or like more features. Like, I'm surprised I didn't see a J-Rock thing, or I mean, I know he's not part of the camp anymore, but I didn't see any Kendrick, which is sad. But definitely you can feel Kendrick's presence is there, if that is to say, not to be corny. If you know, you know, at one point Schoolboy was, you know, Kendrick's hype man. So, you know, there is that type of, you know, energy and vibe that's there that they share amongst each other. But now, like I said, good album. Like to see Q talk his shit, talk about progression. Definitely, you know, he's in that camp where once again, it's now about that shoot him up, bang bang. It's very introspective, and just, you know, what niggas do on their life. Like, I like seeing him talk about golf, and this nigga real live just go to the golf field. I mean, hell, the promo for this album, you see a bunch of slides of this nigga on the golf field talking this shit. So,
golf field twice.
Oh,
Fuck you, nigga.
So like, oh, I listened to the first like 7 songs or 9. What is that? Like 8 or 9. Schoolboy Q fan, you know, just so you know. DDE fan, of course. But to me, I don't know. This shit wasn't it for me. I'm not sure what it was. Cause I liked all the snippets that were coming out. I like Blue Slides. You know, Blue Slides is definitely a good ass song. Like that's a personal song right there. But for some reason, like you said, the switch ups, like it was almost, and I'm like a artsy nigga, you know what I'm saying? And it was like too abstract for me. Like I was like, why?
Yeah.
I like the yacht. I like, you know, I love that shit. I love TDE shit. But for some reason, I'm just like, bro, I'm getting too much abstract, artsy ass shit. Like, nigga, just give me like good songs. Like you said, like, I don't need these a fucking beat switch up on every song. Like, I know y'all killed the beat switch up. Y'all absolutely destroyed the beat switch up.
All of them.
I used to love beat switch ups, and now I'm tired of beat switch ups. It's almost a crutch. Like you might as well just make it because it's 2 separate songs, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's almost like you got like a minute and 15 seconds, but you didn't have enough for the whole song, so you added a beat switch up. Like, I'm not a fan, so I'm gonna try and re-listen to this and finish this album so I can give her like full take. But like for me currently, not it. I fell asleep during it, you know what I'm saying? That's why I didn't finish it. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with that. Like, I gave it a listen in the gym as well. Like, he is usually pretty versatile in general. I think, like, him having that same switch of being, like, really aggressive on certain tracks and then switching to be really melodic. Like, it was a real crutch in a way where I'm kind of like, what's happening here? It doesn't have, like, a unique sound, like, the way Crash Talk or something else had, or like even like certain songs on there, like Dangerous with Kid Cudi, obviously I'm biased. But, like, I liked songs that had that feeling where like you're kind of like, oh shit, like this is just like a vibe, like I can replay this shit over and over again. This was like cool. It's like I couldn't hate it, but I couldn't necessarily say like it was good enough for me to fuck with. Like, I guess even the beat switch caught me by surprise on some songs, but it wasn't something I was like, oh, this was still a good, like the original sound before you switched over was good. It's almost like you're confusing me a little bit. Like, I don't know where you were going. I was happy to see certain names like Jazzy. I was like, oh shit, like you got her on the project. I thought she was good. What was the other one? Rico Nasty, like the second track.
With even the Rico Nasty song. Like, I wanted that to be better. Keep going.
So it was like, it wasn't good. Terrible, but that was one of the better ones to me. He's adaptable. It is sad to see that 5 years later Crash Talk came out, 2018 or something, so, or 6 years later 19. Now you're waiting for this. That's too long to be kind of like dropping a so-so album, and you're putting too much pressure on yourself to deliver at that point. Like, you can't live up to that type of hype. I think the rarest instance is a Kendrick, where he releases every 3 years or some shit like that, maybe 2. He's the only one that people are gonna love no matter what. I like that last Kendrick album. It was dope. But Schoolboy kind of missed on this. I don't think he's great. Like, I don't know, nothing to shit on him. But this album was pretty, I give it like a 7, 6.5 something so far. I'll maybe change my opinion later.
Let's parlay that into like the Cardi shit that's going on, right? So like Cardi B hasn't dropped an album.
Oh yeah.
In like what, 6, 7 years or some
same 2018.
She's having dropping all these singles and doing singles with fucking Meg Thee Stallion and any other female artist that wants to jump on the bar with her. But
that's fine. And that was working. But the only problem is that you haven't dropped in so long.
She don't need to.
Schoolboy Q could have done that. She doesn't technically need to drop. She's rich enough. She's famous enough. But due to your ongoing beefs. You know what I'm saying? That's really what you're, it's due to the internet perception. That's why you have to drop. That's why you have to drop a good album. Otherwise, people can continue to talk all the shit about you and it continues to drop your brand down. It's this weird sort of mix where like she doesn't have to, but she has to. And that's why she's scared. But that's kind of the school that she was sitting. She's scared because you have to kill it. Like,
you can't. Because that first album was great, though.
You could have dropped the so-so album 1.5, 2 years later after your Grammy, you know, album of the year winning album. That's fine. You know what I'm saying? It's the same shit Abdul was saying. If Schoolboy Q had dropped this shit 2 years after, you know what I'm saying, Crash Talk, whatever, which, that wasn't going to happen after Max Steph. But if he had did something like that, then it would make it easier to stomach. But when it's 5 years, then it's like, 6 years, it's going to be like, damn, dog, do I even... how much do I even fuck with Schoolboy Q like
the
that?
The same thing.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
she
hasn't
dropped, but like this next album, if she does drop, is going to be like looked at super hard, and it's like going to be criticized for even if it is good, people are going to say it's like super mid because it's
not for the fans anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's not for the fans. It's for critics to shit on it to tell you why you didn't hit the same way. Like they always say, your first album is the easiest one to make. It's to make your second album. Let's see what happens after that. And yeah, I mean, Schoolboy Q had more than one album, but that time difference made all the difference. And same with Cardi B. I do disagree a little bit where like she doesn't have to combat anything because she's such a superstar. I don't think she matters. Like she had that Facebook show where what Cardi does random shit or something like that. Even Rihanna, you mentioned earlier, they just said she went to India and got like $6 million for a performance. Bro, I'm not dropping no album. Like, what do you think? Like, I'm dropping an album only to strictly be criticized, to potentially like deplete my star power in some way, or for some people to say I don't have it like that. Like the rare instance of like a Jay-Z or someone like that releasing, even him, like you saw people shit on Magna Carta. A lot of people shit on 444 too. Maybe. Like, and that does kind of look like a stain a little bit. But if he left on the Black album, he could have been the greatest artist ever. Like a lot of people don't know how to leave on that high note. I think you should have a smaller career in a lot of ways, even not to put it on Drake, but Drake is probably the exception of everybody. I don't think Cardi B should release another album, and I think she's smart in not doing that. I don't think she's combating anything. I think she's being strategic and saying, like, you're not about to hurt my brand. People are already attacking me for stealing shit. I already never wrote my music, so what are you going to really say I do?
Like, I disagree. I mean, she's going to have to, and she is going to, and if she had took your route, that probably been a smarter idea, but like it's just rap shit. You can't be talking all this shit. You can't talk all this shit to all these stands because they're gonna kill you. They're gonna absolutely kill you. But numbers don't lie. So if you drop something that's that hot, you know what I'm saying? That's undeniable. Then you're gonna come up on top. But like unfortunately, right now, every time she's dropping a single, she's getting killed for it. Now all of her features, amazing. But every time she drops a single by herself, just continue to get shit on.
Questionable.
You can be tired of her too, you know. I think maybe might be a little oversaturated now as well.
I'm not tired of Cardi. Cardi was killing her singles last
are really
year,
good.
Dog.
No, sorry, her features are really good. I can't think of a bad feature that she's had recently.
She's an industry favorite, just like Roy's other favorite, Meg Thee Stallion. You know, shout out to both of them, honestly. So hopefully you don't got anything to prove. But hey, Meg at least shows up. So say whatever though you want about her, she does show up for every project. So yeah, look at you.
Can't even get it out.
End of podcast.
Go ahead, Deontay. You can close us out.
That's gonna do it for the show. If you enjoyed the audio version, again, please check out the YouTube version on our YouTube channel, Get the Productions, and we will catch you on the next one. Peace.
Peace.